can take your Bible tonight, please, and open with me again to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. We have used verse 6 throughout this study as really the starting point and the focal point of our consideration tonight. We want to return again to the study that we began last week entitled Discipline and Development. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 reminds us that as parents, we are to train up a child in the way he should go, that when he is old, he will not depart from it. The purpose of this message on discipline and development is to help us as parents to understand where our children are at in their life, that we might understand how we can best train them, to discipline them, in order that they might walk in along the straight and narrow path. Last Sunday, we mentioned that perhaps the greatest risk and reward for the believer and in the family that is found is in the realm of parenting. But the principles of the Bible give us all that we need to successfully navigate the times of the murky waters of parenting, and sometimes they are. We're so thankful that the Word of God gives us that guide, that direction that we need in order to properly bring up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Before we pick up where we left off last week, let's bow together, please, in a word of prayer. Father, we do ask and pray tonight that you would allow us to see that which we need tonight as we consider the theme of parenting, as we look further at the discipline and the development of the life of a child, that we might be able to use that which we have and that which we know to be able to properly bring up our children in these days. There are many challenges, Lord, to parenting. There always have been. Lord, we need your wisdom. We need direction from you, from your word. And I pray tonight that you would continue to instruct us and to help us as we do this most important task. Father, I pray for all of us that we would see the value of these lessons. Even if we no longer have children in our home or are not parents, there are lessons still to learn. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would remind us of these things, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we took the time in our discussion to look at the thoughts of discipline. Tonight, we want to focus our thoughts more on the element of development. But before we jump into the thoughts on development, I want to take a few moments and just remind you what we discussed last week, because the two really do go hand in hand. The things that we discuss and the things that we discover are important, and you and I must learn to settle them within our hearts in order that we might properly operate and function within our own homes. The home, the Christian home, has been under great attack. In these last few years, we saw marriage completely redefined. Within the court systems under President Obama, there was even some who were seeking to pass legislation to redefine parenting. Our task is difficult, but our task is of great importance. And part of the task of parenting is that of discipline. Again, we are called to train up our children in the way that they should go. God has a plan and a purpose for the life of your child, and part of that training is the function of discipline. We're responsible to help our children be disciplined, and at the heart of that is the concept of control. We want our children to be properly trained and properly controlled. However, that is not the end in and of itself, as we looked at last week. But we do know that the Bible tells us that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. In fact, that's found right here in Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. It is amazing to me what we do not have to teach children. We do not have to teach them how to do that which is wrong. We do not have to teach them how to be mean or how to hurt others. We do not have to instruct them in the art of lying or the proper steps to successful rebellion. Ever heard that taught in junior church? We don't need to teach them how to do those things. Those things are naturally bound in the heart of the child, that foolishness, but it is the job of the parent to bring correction, discipline, in order that that child would walk in the ways pleasing to God. We are called to train them, to teach them in the ways of righteousness, that they might walk on those paths. The question is, how can we do that successfully as parents? And last week, what we discussed under the heart of discipline is that you and I must capture their heart. Yes, that the concept of discipline is control, but the best way that we go about this discipline and controlling their behavior is that we capture the heart of a child. For many parents, though, that concept is all that they focus on. All they want is the control of behavior, and what we fail to recognize is that behavior is a product or the byproduct of a heart. For conduct is the product of character. It is out of the heart that things proceed in life. And that's why, again, Solomon would write and say, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Jeremiah tells us not to trust the heart, for it is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the greatest thing that a parent can do is to seek to gain or keep or capture the heart of a child. So keep it with all diligence. That is our duty as parents. Your children's control center for their lives is their heart. And if we simply cause them to conform and never capture the heart, in essence, we will fail as parents. So again, I'll remind you of the quote we shared last week. A change in behavior that does not stem from a change of heart is not commendable, it's condemnable. And folks, that is true not just for our children, that is true for us as parents. If there is not a change of behavior that stems from the change of character, then the reality is we will only keep up that facade for a time. We will always operate by our heart. The heart is our control center. And again, we are called to train them in the way they should go. Many, again, struggle with Proverbs 22:6 because they say, well, we train them, but they departed. And so many come back to the passage and say, see, there's the problem. That verse doesn't work. Folks, the reality is we may have trained them to conform, but we may not have trained for their character. We may have never captured the heart. And so when children leave the home and they're no longer under the authority that calls them to conform, guess what they operate by? Their heart. And so they begin to live according to their character. And that's why we see them begin to stray. And the reality is, as a parent, we must learn to seek to capture the heart, to get them not only to obey, but to do so because they love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might. At the end of our message last week, we also gave some practical thoughts concerning our discipline. He gave you some basic principles. Principles such as that within our discipline there needs to be charity along with correction. It is not that we simply correct their behavior, but that we do it in love. We discipline from a spirit and a heart of love. Also, there's the need for consistency along with clarity. What we say needs to be clearly taught, and what we say needs to be followed through on. The rule today cannot be the license tomorrow. We need to be consistent, and all of it must be Christ-centered. Again, what is the purpose of our discipline if it is not to point them to Jesus Christ and Him alone? Ultimately, folks, in the end, my children will leave my home. And when they leave my home, I want them to follow Christ, don't you? And so the purpose of parenting is not to alleviate my burden or my frustration or my embarrassment, but it is always centered on their character, causing them to be conformed to the image of Christ. Tonight, we want to look at the concept of development. The development of our child as it relates to their discipline. You and I must understand where our children are in their development if we're going to successfully reach them where they are. If the goal is the capturing of our child's heart in every stage of their life, then I better understand where they are in life so that I can properly minister to them and reach them for the Lord. One of the greatest blessings to me is to know that God always deals with us according to knowledge. Aren't you glad for that? We don't always deal with people according to knowledge. Frankly, we often deal with people according to assumption. We have assumed what we think is going on. It's not always based on knowledge. And by the way, much of our hurt and much of our despair comes from the living from assumption, not knowledge or truth. And the reality is, when it comes to parenting, it is important that we operate from the basis of knowledge. God knows us perfectly. God understands where you are right now, today. He knows where you are in your spiritual walk, in your spiritual development. He understands your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows your struggles, those which no one else knows. And God is at the point of working in you. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ." We're in a process. We call that sanctification. And God deals with you, God deals with me, according to knowledge. So we as parents ought to have some understanding of where our children are in their development so that we might be able to work with them properly. Development gives us the knowledge that allows us to succeed. Tonight, I want to begin with some simple acknowledgments. And the first one that I want you to see with me is simply this, and I think it's a commonplace concept, and yet sometimes we don't always apply it. And that is simply this: no two children are the same. Whether you have one or two or five or ten, none of them are the same. They may be similar, but they're not the same. And as we talked about in the beginning of our study from Proverbs 22 and verse 6, that our discipline, our training needs to be personal and individual because no two children are the same. Each one is different, and we as parents must deal with them on that individual basis. Each child in our home is unique. They are a unique combination of strengths and weaknesses, which, by the way, are the combination of the traits of your blended families. That's why you can look at your kids and say, that is just like your grandmother, right? I mean, when she does that, she's just like her grandmother. You can see Uncle Joe in them, right? You kind of look at your kids and go, man, that's my family right there. And even worse, you go, that's me. But you realize that child is unique from all the other children in your home. Every child within this church is unique. There may again be some things which are similar, but they are unique. And we need to treat them as such. And God, by the way, deals with us as such. He treats us as though we are unique. And he has crafted a plan for each one of our development. Your children are also at different stages in their development, and that training must be geared towards their development. We have the wonderful blessing right now of really having our children in various stages, from the high school and the older teens to the early teens, those junior high years, which, by the way, are probably more fun to me than any other time because they're just odd. Fun, but odd. It's always, right, Isaiah? It's just always fun, isn't it? You never know what they're going to do or say. It's a wonderful time. It is. And we have the elementary. There was at one point that we had them in each level, all the way down to before school, in the elementary, upper elementary, junior high, and on their way to high school. All those different developments. It's fun when there's 10 years in between the oldest to the youngest. But folks, here's the reality. Each one of them's different, and each one develops differently. And we need to understand the basics of that development so that we can help them as we determine where our child is and therefore seek to deal with them individually to help them go in the way that God would have them go. So let me take a few moments and talk to you about some stages of development. And as we do so, let me admit to you up front, this is not mine. This is something that I have heard and seen and borrowed over the years, but I do think it is helpful to us, especially in the realm of our parenting. And by the way, grandparents, it's helpful for you to understand where they are and to help your children as they walk their children through these stages of development. There are three basic stages of development that are often discussed within our Christian community. And the reality is, most of our secular humanists would not agree, perhaps, with these stages or this development. But to be honest, I don't really care what the secular humanists think about that, because the reality, if you look at where they believe and the way they want to go about things, their viewpoints are only plunging our world deeper and deeper into the very pit of hell. So the reality is, what are these stages? Well, the first stage we often call a stage of concretes. And it's important that we understand when these stages are. This stage begins at birth and really goes through about the age of 11 or 12. And again, each child's going to enter into these different stages at different times within their life. But this is kind of the birth to the preteens of our day. It is called the age of concretes because children learn best through concrete truth. At this stage, children accept simple facts as being true simply because they are taught to them by those that are viewed in authority. So the key word or concept in this stage is the concept of authority. In the life and the development of a child, in the early stages, they learn through the concretes, the simple truth, the facts given to them by the authority. Children, by nature, trust especially their parents. And what the parent says, they believe it to be gospel truth, and they believe it because the authority says so. When the teacher stands up and the teacher says 2 and 2 is 4, they simply learn the concept that 2 and 2 is 4. It's a concrete truth. And based on that, they understand the world from that realm. And that's why at the early stages, it's so important that we as parents teach them the very simple concepts and the only two commands given to them in the Word of God, which is Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because it's right. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long. This is the first commandment with promise. Children are called to obey the authorities that are placed over them. And again, we must teach them the importance of immediate obedience and respect for authority. In all the years and growing up and going through the Christian school, so often we would hear it said to us as students that delayed obedience is disobedience. The thing that would get us in more trouble would be disrespect to a teacher. We were brought up in a realm where it was still Mr. and Mrs. or Miss, and always the last name. We never dared call a teacher by their first name. Why? Because we were taught to respect authority. And by the way, mom and dad, if we don't teach them to respect authority, who is going to teach them that? I am amazed as I walk around and I see things within our community and I watch children. I am amazed at their utter disregard for their parents. And we are creating our own problems when at this stage of our life, we do not teach them to obey immediately. They learn through concrete truth. And that's how we must deal with them. The most common mistake at this point is reasoning with a child. Developmentally, a child in this stage does not have the ability to reason through complex issues. They do not comprehend that their behavior is a bad reflection on the character of your family, or that being bad and is destroying their testimony for the Lord. They don't get that. And so you see moms and dads, and they're out there, and they pull little Johnny aside, and Johnny's three, and Johnny's hitting his brother, and they say, "Now, Johnny, we want you to understand why that isn't good. Because when you hit your brother, you hurt his self-esteem. And you wound him at the deepest." They have no clue what that means. No, they need to be taught. Don't hit. Why? Because it's wrong. Why is it wrong? Because I'm telling you as the authority, it's wrong for you to hit somebody else. Know why we teach them that? Because we realize that it's called something else when they become an adult. It's called assault and battery. But we're teaching them concepts, but they don't have the ability to reason through the complex issues. They don't understand that mommy's feelings are hurt and therefore you need to stop so mommy can be happy again. What they need to understand is your behavior is wrong. And as the authority, you need to learn to obey. One of the things that we wanted our children to do when they were young is to hear us when we spoke, and we wanted their immediate response. And by the way, is that a bad thing to teach them? If you're in a parking lot and your child decides to dart out between the cars and you say, "Stop," what do you want them to do? Stop. When do you want them to stop? I don't want them to stop three cars down the road as they get run over by a pickup truck. I want them to stop immediately. And so you train them to hear you, to obey, and do what they are told. That's necessary. It is the foundation. It's the beginning of that discipline. And children, again, must be taught to obey because obedience is right. And again, mom and dad, I'll just say this to you. It makes it so simple. When we understand that children only have two commands, and if they do those two things, everything else works out okay. Obey and respect. That's it. all the other things that you tell them they must do, and sometimes children get stuck on, there's so many rules, but there's only two commands: obey and honor, respect. And if they will have within their mind the desire to obey the authority and respect the authority, they won't have as much trouble with their decisions and the things that come up in their lives. We need to teach them the value of that kind of obedience. And children learn at that stage, in those early stages, through concretes, through truth. And we need to ingrain that truth in their hearts. The next stage that they go through is what we call an age of counsel. This is the teen years. And this is where we as parents need discernment. Again, some children will enter into this stage a little earlier than others. Some enter into it a little bit later than others. There is really no exact age as to when this time begins. But there are some factors that play a part to help us understand that my child has entered into that stage. And really what's taking place is this child is beginning to develop and to mature. In the stage of development, the biggest challenge in the life of a child is that they now develop the ability to reason and think through the complex issues just like an adult. And really, that's when you know your child begins to enter into the stage, when you begin to see within them the ability to honestly reason through an issue. You say, Pastor, how do we know that they reason through issues? You know what often comes out of the mouth of a child at this stage? The common word that most parents hate: why. Now, sometimes younger kids ask why. You know, you're driving down the highway, why? Why? And say, please be quiet, right? But we're talking about a child that really wants to know the reason behind what we're doing. And so they come and ask questions like this: Dad, why do we have to go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and again Wednesday night? I got friends, they only go once a week. Isn't that good enough? Dad, why do I have to read my Bible every day? Dad, why can't I go there with my friends? Dad, everyone else begins to do this. How come we can't do this? What's the reason behind that? They're beginning to think through. Remember all those things that we taught them that were concrete, that were simple truths? Now they're beginning to reason through them, and they should, because what's happening in their life is they're beginning to develop that process. They are in the process of becoming adults. I always tell children, I ask them when I begin working with young people, how do you define yourself? And most of them say, we're just young adults. And I said, wrong definition. You're a child in the process of becoming an adult, and some of you won't get there for a really long time. But here's the reality. As they begin to process and go through these things and they begin to reason, what is our job as a parent? Our job is to counsel them from the Word of God, to instruct them again in the truth. Success in this stage, folks, is crucial to success in the third and final stage that we're going to get to. You and I as parents in these years must take the time to counsel them, to bring them back to the Word of God, to teach them, to instruct them, to help them understand the reasons why. And the problem that we often have is we often spend the younger years reasoning to children who don't have the ability to reason, and then when they finally come to the age where they can, we want to tell them, don't ask me any questions, just do it. But the problem is they need you to walk them through those issues biblically and to teach them the whys. I can honestly remember growing up and asking those kinds of questions through my Christian school or in my youth group, sometimes at home. And the reality was I'd ask the question why, and they say, because the Bible says so, just accept it. And so I usually ask the follow-up question, can you tell me where that's found in the Bible? Not now, we'll get to that later. I used to think to myself, if you can't tell me, then how in the world am I ever going to find out? And folks, our job and our responsibility as parents is to teach them, to give them counsel. Would you look with me again at Deuteronomy chapter 6? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6 gives us some great advice as parents. Beginning in verse 4, we are told, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." That is one of the first verses that a child, as a Jewish child, would learn. That they would be taught, that it would be recited at home. That God is one Lord and we are to love Him. Here's the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. These words now we're told command thee this day that they shall be in thine heart. And what are we to do with these words? God says to the people of Israel, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them upon the sign, upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou filledest not, and wells digged that you dig not, vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest ye forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now jump down to verse 20. Here's what God says. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. As a parent, we have the responsibility to teach them. As we mentioned, we are to teach them formally. We are to teach them informally. When we sit down, when we walk in the way, when our child comes and says, Dad, what means all of these commandments? Then you are to take the opportunity and have those special talks to counsel them. Folks, the Bible does tell us that as a parent, we need to be able to give them an answer. Now, I may not have the answer immediately when my child comes. I don't always have an answer when a member comes and says, Pastor, I have a question for you. The best answer that I can give in such a case is, I don't have the answer right now. Can you give me a few moments to study that out? And I promise I'll get back with you. With the children, you could say to them, why don't we take the time? How about tomorrow night we can sit down and we can begin to look that up in Scripture and begin to find out what the Bible says. Let's find the answer together. But what our children need is the time for us to counsel them. And parents, can I say to you, it is not wrong for your children or your youth to question what they are being taught. Do you know that? It's okay for them to question. In fact, Paul commended one church above all else, the Berean church. Why did he commend the Berean church above all other churches? What did they do that was so special? They searched the Scriptures to see if that was so. Who was their teacher? Paul. You know, the guy who wrote the vast majority of the New Testament? He was their teacher. And they went and said, that's what he said. And we question and we bring it back to the Word of God. Hey, parents, isn't that what we want our kids to do? Don't I want them to bring it back to the Word of God and have the answer there? There is a point and a time in the life of a child as they begin to grow and when they head out on their own that it is not enough for them to say, that's what my church believes, that's what my pastor believes, that's what my youth pastor taught me all those years, that's what my parents say is so. There comes a point in a time when that child must make their own decision and stand by their own convictions. And by the way, parents, can I remind you of what Psalm 1 says? Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night, that he might be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. And verse 4 says, and the ungodly are not so. Do you want your child walking according to the counsel of this world? Sucked in to stand there with sinners? Or even worse, to sit in the seat of one who scorns the very truth of God's word? Don't we want them to be able to deal with the complex issues of life and come right back to the Bible to find their answers and stand on that truth? As my child begins to develop, there comes a point that I have to move away from do it because as the authority I say so and begin to teach them, instruct them as to why these things are so important. Because, folks, it leads to the very final stage of the life of your child, and that is a stage of conviction. And that, I believe, typically takes place in the late teen years, in the early years of college, as that child readies himself to leave the nest. And what has to happen is this child now is able to say, not that I think, not that I was taught, but they are able to say, I believe. And stand on their own two feet. I want my children, when they leave their home, to say, this is my belief system. I hope it mirrors mine. But in some of the finer points, they may come to thoughts and say, well, Dad, I don't really agree in that area. But in the end, I want them to come to the point and say, Dad, I've searched the scripture. I've done my study. And this is my belief. You know what happens when it's your belief? You're that tree planted by the rivers of water. You have an anchor, and you're not blown around by every wind and doctrine that comes along. And in the end, we want our children to believe. Not just because my parents say so, my church says so, but because I believe they've gone through and dealt with those complex issues. And by the way, the older they get, the more complex they become. They're not going to have everything squared away when they graduate from college and have all their beliefs nailed down. But I hope we have trained them and taught them to be able to walk through the issues of life biblically to come to points that they can say, I believe. Because they're going to need that in life. Have you found that the issues of life get harder and harder the older that you get? They really do. The longer we live, the more difficult and more complex these things are. And we need to be able to come back to the Word of God again. It is no longer enough to live off of your parents' beliefs. They have to be made their own. And parents, it's our job to help them to come to the place that they can stand alone. When I think of this concept of my children being able to stand, I am reminded of Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, God tells me, and God tells my children, and He tells all of us, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That ye might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all, Here's the image. Your child goes out into life and they take their stand and the storm of life blows. And it's fierce and it's hard and it's difficult. And when the winds die down and the fog lifts, you can look around and there may be carnage all around the life of your child, but that child stands firmly fixed in the truth. Isn't that what you want to be? Isn't that what you want your kids to be? In the end, I want them to stand. It's a frightening thing when you enter into the realm and the responsibility of parenting. God is entrusting to you a sweet and precious life. And as you hold that child for the very first time and you begin to look into their eyes and look upon their face, you begin to see all of the opportunities and the possibilities, and you begin excited, become excited about that child's life. And the further that you come into parenting, the more difficult it becomes, because that child has to face challenges and it's your job to walk them through and to deal with them properly and be biblical in the whole process. Also that one day you send them off. And by the way, that's our goal. And when I send them off to their own lives and to their own families, I know what I'm sending them off to. I am sending them off into the midst of a great spiritual battle. And I want them to stand. Some years ago, we had two hurricanes come through St. John's where we were living. St. John's found all of its strength in their trees, found all of their strength as they grouped together. The whole island is a massive rock, very little soil. So there's nothing for trees to kind of dig their roots down. You get a big oak tree and they dig those roots down deep, and when the winds blow, they're okay. The only way a tree survives in Newfoundland is if they grow in bunches, and literally all of their roots grow together. Here's the problem. When the winds come and the storm comes, when one tree falls, they all fall. In one single storm next to our house, we went from a forest to a field. Literally 60 or 70 trees fell in one storm. Now, the kids thought that was cool, jumping over all of them and running around in them. Then the next one comes through, and the rest of them were removed. Why? They had nothing to hold them. They were shallow. Mom and Dad, your child is shallow if they don't know what they believe. And when that wind blows, they're going to fall. And that's devastating and it's heartbreaking. And the way that we can help that and become successful in our discipline is to understand how our children do develop. There's nothing wrong with understanding those stages. There's nothing wrong with understanding how to best minister to your child when they're young. Again, you go out in our world today and they tell you, reason with little Johnny. He needs you to explain it to him. The problem is Johnny doesn't know how to reason. I'm not saying Johnny's dumb. I'm saying Johnny hasn't developed yet. But then when they become teenagers, we want to tell them, just do it because I said so. I don't have any time for you. That's when they need you. Because the final stage is them going off on their own and standing on their own two feet. No wonder why we have a generation today that can't leave home. We've not trained them to stand. And yet God says it is the job of a parent to train up a child in the way they should go, that when they're old, they will not depart. And you and I as parents would have the wonderful joy and privilege to say, like the aged Apostle John, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. How else do you want them to walk? John says, oh, the greatest joy of my life is to look at my spiritual children and see that they stayed true. The greatest joy for me as a dad is to know that my children walk in the truth. If they're successful in business and have everything that money can buy, if they travel the world, if they meet famous people, all the things that the world kind of labels as success, but they leave the truth, they failed. And so have I. My job is to train them so that they will follow the ways of God. And part of that is understanding how God created your child and causes them to develop. There are times that we need to be firm and strict and say, these are the rules, abide by them. There are other times that we need to come to them and give them the reasons for those rules and then cause them to abide by them so that they will establish their own path and their own way and walk in righteousness. That's our role. The wonderful responsibility of parenting. It's not an easy task. There are risks involved, but there's a great reward. As we discipline them through the stages of their development, as we capture their heart to know, to love, and serve our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the time that we've had tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to look at these things and consider them. Lord, I pray that you would help us in our parenting to understand our children, to know their needs, and to be able to develop them according to the truth of the Word of God and to drive it deep into their heart. So, Lord, we ask and pray that you would help us to be faithful in the task that you have called us to. And we'll thank you, Lord, and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.